It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
America.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 12th day of March 2024. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between and the great globe round. And where if you pop in right now into the aforementioned Mary Wacky Zany, etc., you'll be greeted by Anatole and Irish Dave and Props and Squeaky and Theo. And, of course, capably moderated by Horn Chief Agronomist, Chief Mathematician, Bud Trimmer Emeritus, and Zimmergist Extraordinaire, Roger, in Oregon. Hi, I'm Robin. It is Titanic Tuesday, and we do have some Titanic stuff to go through. Without a doubt, but every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. And so, consequently, we say thank you today to our 12th day of the month subscribers. That means thank you to Gary in New York. Thank you, Paul, so very kindly. And those are our two subscribers for the 12th day of the month. Thank you, gentlemen. Both of you, so very kindly. And so our fundraising goal stands at 11:15 because we got caught up with last Wednesday and Thursday yesterday. And so consequently we've got last Wednesday and a little bit of Thursday. So we've got the rest of Thursday, Friday, yesterday, and today. And so the fundraising goal is at 11:15. If you'd care to help out, well, the PayPal button is at headon.live. And, any kind of help is good help. If you want to go by subscription, if you don't want to use PayPal, there's Patreon. The Patreon button is at headon.live under the Contribute tab. The United States Mail still delivers to our little mailbox at The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, BECKLEYWV 25801. Please make any checks or money orders payable to Robin Kincaid, because the old account is no more. Where to begin? You'd be surprised the number of you who wrote to me about our filthy morning habit. Chief among them was Dave in the blind. It's almost toaster time for Matt in San Francisco. I would suggest that you get some nice bagels, some really nice schmears, because motherfucker can't be far behind. That's right. I'm expecting an FCC fine. Well, and what Dave and others were talking about was a moment for the ages, I guess. from this morning's Filthy Morning Habit as Mika and Joe were discussing the upcoming hearing with Robert Herr. You know, I think he probably gets up every morning, Robert Herr does, and just thanks all the deities that his parents didn't name him Ben. That's all I got. I'll just play the clip, Roxanne.
Expected to testify later this morning before the Republican-led House Judiciary Committee.
I wonder what pasture he will walk off into.
I don't know.
Just kind of wander off and say, well, you know, and Joe Biden, I noticed he didn't really tie his tie well. The tie knot suggested that maybe he has arthritis in his left thumb.
Where are you going with this?
I'm just saying this guy says such random shit about he's a kindly old man who could not remember his son's birthday. Like, he wandered off into a pasture here and, you know, maybe Arnold the Pig let him there. I don't know. No, you should apologize for her because
I shouldn't have asked.
I don't know exactly. Like, does he hope he gets a judgeship? I think he does.
Yeah.
I think he hopes he gets a judgeship if Donald Trump gets elected again.
Okay.
He's trying out because he humiliated himself with that
actually,
display.
Jackie Alamany has actual reporting on this.
Let's
go to her.
Let's do that.
Hopefully
right
she will
now.
Not have a foul mouth.
You've never hung out with Jackie Alamany when she gets mad. Because let me tell you something.
I love it when Mika plays school marm.
You ever see her on a basketball court?
Yeah, no, I know.
Whoa.
She does have a temper.
Yeah.
Ask
Jake. You don't
want
to see me mad.
Okay.
No. Okay.
Continue. Jackie, so what's going on with this guy?
Well, we are going to hear from Robert Herr today on Capitol Hill, whom Democrats and Republicans both have some issues with, although very different issues. But we should really start this conversation with the fact that Robert Herr ultimately concluded that there were no criminal charges warranted in President Biden's, you know, classified documents case, that essentially he had found that Biden willfully did retain some sensitive information, but that it was not enough to establish Biden's guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. But the big issues, obviously, that Republicans have had with Robert Herr's report, which was essentially a declination memo where Herr felt like he needed to establish why he did not pursue charges against Biden, was some of the, as Democrats view it, gratuitous and elaborate digs at Biden's memory and mental faculties. Herr went into extensive detail about Biden being unable to remember specific details during his interview with the president. Biden's aides have said that this interview that took place, which was several hours long, happened in the aftermath of the October 7th attack. And it's also important to note that there are many witnesses across the board, across many administrations, who have trouble remembering information about something that happened several years ago. Biden was asked about, essentially retaining documents, again, not willfully, after his vice presidency. And Republicans are probably going to try to hammer and press her for why, you know, he didn't ultimately charge Biden, especially in comparison to former President Donald Trump, who's obviously facing extensive criminal charges. But Herr does note in that report, which he is expected to underscore, that there are serious material differences between the Trump case.
Now, hold on a minute. Was that a setup? Was that whole script set up for Jackie Alamany to say, but her? But hurt? But her? Yeah, meanwhile, Miss Micah's up in Michigan giggling, LMAO, oh God, it's coming. And there's some sort of a mathematics formula that we have to work out. How many brown words equals a motherfucker? Because that's at least two in maybe the last month for Joe. And, you know, the quiet one, it's the quiet ones who always get you. And there sits Mika, all demure and prim and proper. It's coming. You're right, Micah.
It gets a little confusing though when I'm talking to Micah about Mika. And by the way, if this former special counsel, you know, because he quit, he scampered off before this hearing took place. He resigned as special counsel. And so he might be looking for work. And, you know, if he's looking for a judgeship or maybe an ambassadorship, maybe he'd like to be ambassador to the People's Republic of China and sit down with the president of China, and it could be she, her. I'll see myself out.
And the Biden case, that Biden at the end of the day cooperated and that the people around him cooperated with the Justice Department's investigation into the classified documents. And, you know, former President Trump obviously didn't. And then also in the process committed obstruction and enlisted other people to destroy and hide evidence.
So our friends at Playbook got an advanced copy of Herr's prepared testimony, which is set to deliver in a short time. And he defends his decision to include those comments about the president's memory. I'll just read a little. He says, for that reason, I had to consider the president's memory and overall mental state and how a jury likely would perceive his memory and mental state at a trial. He says, I did not sanitize my explanation, nor did I disparage the president unfairly, is what Robert Herr says. But Eugene Robinson, I mean, the White House feels really good post-State of the Union. They felt like they addressed this issue of the president's age and mental fitness for the job. They're not thrilled to have this come up again today, although they feel like they've already sort of mitigated some of the possible damage here because the president was so strong the other night. We should note Robert Herr, no longer an employee of the DOJ, so he's not bound by some of the constraints that a DOJ employee would have. He potentially has the freedom to editorialize more than a special counsel normally would. And the White House has prepared a rapid response room. We'll be hearing from them a lot today. So give us your expectations of what will happen today, and particularly on the political fallout.
You know, I have no idea what Herr is going to say. I mean, which way he's going to go? Is he going to go deeper into this sort of fantasy world he created in the report, or is he going to pull back from that? And we'll have to see. Politically, I think, from the White House point of view, they would be very happy that if this has to happen, it happens in the wake of the State of the Union address. As you noted, President Biden and his team believe they put a lot of the, you know, doddering old man kind of trope to rest with that speech. And with, you know, the appearances and the ads that he's done since. And so I think they believe they can handle that. I do have a question for Jackie about Herr and specifically in his report. At the beginning of the report, in the summary, he says that Biden willfully withheld these documents. And then later in the report, I believe in a footnote, he says, well, actually, we don't have proof that he willfully did this. So will he be asked to clarify that? And what do you think he's going to say?
Yeah, I think he's going to have to address. About a recording that Herr and Justice Department investigators obtained with his biographer, who at the time Biden was going back and forth sharing information with. But at the end of the day, after all was said and done and they reviewed the conversations that were taking place between Biden and his biographer at the time, they were able to sort of discern that the materials and what was being discussed was actually something that Biden was not willfully disclosing and did not necessarily know. They were not able to establish that he knew that it was sensitive information and that he was disclosing anything that was essentially problematic to U.S. national security.
Yeah, and, you know, again, I mean, the inconsistency there just shows bad faith. They put it up front that it was willful, and then at the end you go to a footnote that says we don't have any evidence that what he did was willful. And whatever he says today is going to be ineffective because he painted Joe Biden as a doddering old man who couldn't remember anything. Mm. Over 30 million people saw Joe Biden
stick it to the Republicans.
Like, confront the Republicans, go back and forth with the Republicans. No doddering old man. In fact, I don't think most people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, or 60s could have done that on that big of a stage, knowing that 31 million people were watching you. So it's preposterous what he said. He humiliated himself. Let's see how much more he wants to humiliate himself today.
We shall see. The Washington Post, Eugene Robinson, and Jackie Alemany, thank you both very much for being on this morning.
I'll just be glad when this is all put behind us so we can have a little bit of pronoun sanity back. That's all. Of course, there was the actual hearing itself, which was a circus. And once again, the maggots, thank God they're so incompetent. They just suck. Before we go into that, though, a little piece of breaking news. Because, oh God. The New York Times just sent out a breaking news alert that Joe Rogaine's pal Aaron Rodgers, as well as former Minnesota Governor Jesse the Body Ventura, are at the top of Rotted FK's list for a vice presidential running mate. And I can't see the rest of it because it's behind a paywall, but what I see is enough. Both welcomed the overtures, two people familiar with the discussions said. Oddly enough, Jesse Ventura would probably be the lesser of the two trolls. Dear God. It's almost like it's the 90s or something, Jesse Ventura. How old is Jesse Ventura now? Like, 90? Didn't he come into the governor's office in Minnesota in, what, 1994 or something? So that's 24. That's 30 years ago. So he's at least 70, maybe 80, and Rotted FK is probably going to talk about Biden's age. Yes, Ralphs. After Robert Hur is gone, we won't have to say her. Now that Robert Hur is gone, we won't have her to kick around anymore. I'm telling you, the jokes just write themselves, but yeah. I think Joe's figured out that he's on cable and not over the air network TV, so he gets to say the brown word. That or he's trying to get fired. Or else he's trying to normalize, and this is my personal pet theory. He's trying to normalize a little bit of swearing here and there because he knows that Mika, as quiet and meek and mild as Mika and mild as she is, oh dear, it is Tuesday. Mika and mild. I'm going to see myself out again. I think he's trying to normalize a little bit of profanity for the day when Mika does finally snap and call Donald Trump a motherfucker. Now all we have to do is figure out the context. I mean, he is, but what do we think? This is just an informal poll to the Horn Family Community Congregation. What do we think will motivate Mika to finally call Nitwit Nero a motherfucker? There's so many options, but send me your theories. You can tell Joe when Joe's frustrated. I bet he's not fun to be around when he's pissed, and that's angry, as in the American usage, and not drunk out of his mind, as in the British English usage. So the her hearing, it's going to be a tough Tuesday. But the beginning of the her hearing was with fireworks. Even before the her uttered her's first words, I don't know if I'm going to get through this. Jim Jordan, okay, Flavio, Mika, and Mild, just go. There's the door. Bye. See ya. Just go. For the love of God, go. You have sat here long enough. Feeling rather Cromwellian today. But before a word came out of her's mouth, there was a little bit of an excoriation for who else? Jim Jacket Off Jordan, the chairman of the committee.
Such admiration for the president that you allowed him to take the first 10 minutes of this hearing. Mr. Chairman, House Republicans may be desperate to convince America that white conservative men are on the losing end of a two-tiered justice system, a theory that appeals to the MAGA crowd but has no basis in reality. But your comments today make me wonder if you have read the special counsel's report at all. The Hur report does help us draw a distinction between President Biden and Donald Trump, just not the one you want. Two distinctions, actually. First, the report is clear that, quote, at no point did the special counsel find evidence that Mr. Biden intended or had reason to believe the information would be used to injure the United States or to benefit a foreign nation, close quote. With respect to the classified documents found in President Biden's possession, quote, the decision to decline criminal charges was straightforward, close quote. And with respect to the special counsel's investigation, quote, Mr. Biden turned in classified documents to the National Archives and the Department of Justice, consented to the search of multiple locations, including his homes, sat for a voluntary interview, and in other ways cooperated with the investigation, close quote. President Biden acted responsibly, cooperated completely, and the decision to decline criminal justice, to decline criminal charges was relatively straightforward. In short, to borrow a phrase from the last administration, the Hur report represents the complete and total exoneration of President Biden. And how does that record contrast with President Trump, the documents he retained, and the criminal charges pending against him in Florida? We know that Trump deliberately took large amounts of classified information from the White House. He has admitted as much, occasionally pretending that he classified this information without telling anyone on his way out the door. We know that he stored that information around Mar-a-Lago in the craziest of places, on the ballroom stage, spilled across the floor of an unlocked closet, next to the toilet. We know that he showed classified military plans to an author interviewing him at Bedminster. Quote, as president, I could have declassified it, Trump says on an audio recording. Now I can't, you know, but this is still a secret. Still a secret, close quote. So much for the declassification theory. We know from the indictment that Trump is alleged to have shared these classified documents with many other visitors to Mar-a-Lago. And we know that, despite this outrageous conduct, the Department of Justice gave Trump every opportunity to avoid criminal charges. Again, in the special counsel's words, quote, after being given multiple chances to return classified documents and avoid prosecution, Mr. Trump allegedly did the opposite. He not only refused to return the documents for many months, but he also obstructed justice by enlisting others to destroy evidence and then to lie about it. Close quote. Why did the president charge former President Trump but not President Biden? Not because of some vast conspiracy, not because the so-called deep state was out to get him, but because former President Trump was fundamentally incapable of taking advantage of even one of the many, many chances he was given to avoid those charges. Which brings me to the second distinction this report helps us draw between President Biden and Donald Trump. Simply put, President Biden had the mental acuity to navigate this situation. Donald Trump, did not. Much has been made of the special counsel's gratuitous comments about the President Biden's age. But let's set the context. After returning every classified document, after opening his home to federal investigators, while simultaneously managing the first hours of the crisis in Israel, President Biden volunteered to sit through a five-hour interview with the special counsel. I believe, as is his habit, that President Biden probably committed a verbal slip or two during the interview. And I'm not sure any of that matters, because when the interview was over, Mr. Herr completely exonerated President Biden. And then there is Donald Trump. What kind of man bungles not one, but dozens of opportunities to avoid criminal liability? What must that say about his mental state? Here, too, the record speaks for itself.
One of the great memories of all time.
James Webb. I don't remember the names. I don't remember the name.
Viktor Orban. Did anyone ever hear of him? He's the leader of Turkey.
By the way, they never report the crowd on January 6th. You know, Nikki Haley is in charge of security.
3 years later, how about that?
Did you actually have a one-on-one with Comey then?
Not much. Not even that I remember.
I like mosquitoes. We have languages coming into our country. We have nobody that even speaks those languages. They're truly foreign languages. Nobody speaks them. Saudi Arabia and Russia. Will we be good? Oh.
I have a really good memory.
Your next wife was a woman by the name of Marla Maples?
That's right.
Do you recall what years you were married to Ms. Maples?
It's called, like, up here, and it's called memory, and it's called other things.
So you don't remember saying you have one of the best memories?
I don't remember that.
And Putin, you know, has so little respect for Obama that he's starting to throw around the nuclear war, Terry. You've heard that, nuclear.
We have to win in November, or we're not going to have Pennsylvania. They'll change the name.
And I talked to Putin. A lot.
Did you ask him that?
I don't remember that. I saw that this morning. I don't remember asking him that question.
I have a good memory and all that stuff, like a great memory.
For 20 years, they were fighting ISIS. I defeated ISIS in 4 weeks.
And we did with Obama. We won an election that everyone said couldn't be won.
I'm not cognitively. And you know what? When I am, you're going to know it. You're going to be the first people.
Jesus.
I know my people. You'll say, all right, Trump, you did a good job. Get the hell out of here. That's it.
That is a man who is incapable of avoiding criminal liability, a man who is wholly unfit for office, and a man who, at the very least, or to think twice before accusing others of cognitive decline. Thank you for being here today, Mr. Herr. Thank you for illuminating a stark choice for this country in the months to come. I look forward to your testimony, and I yield back.
It was another parking lot full of rakes, and the maggots just stepped on them. I think they even saw them and stepped on them anyway, just for that invigorating whack in the face. Oh, Lee, you know where the door is too. Subject line: Her. Was MAGA Taylor Greene chanting "Say her name, say her name"? Why are you misgendering her? I mean, I guess this was, the maggots brought this on thinking that it would somehow prove to be damning of President Biden. The only thing it damned was themselves. And by the way, a couple of notes from earlier. Lee in New York, put this all behind us. What makes you think we'll ever see the end of this? Nitwit Nero still rants about the 2020 election and Hillary and Obama and the 2016 crowd size, et cetera. I know, Lee, but a girl can hope, right? Can't she? Why they charged Trump but not Biden? Stephen New York said, I wanted to respond to this conundrum, but then I realized how futile that is. And adds, mental acuity? Congressman Nadler's been taking classes in shade, too. Oh, I don't know, man. You think these Democrats have their own personal drag queens to teach them how to throw shade? Because Nitwit Nero was freezing to death after that opening statement. And then it just went on and on and on. Huh. Did Jamie Raskin roasted them? Yeah. It can't have been fun to be on the maggot side. Then again, they're so self-deluded. They live in the river in Egypt. Denial. I'm sorry. I'll try to do better.
Gentleman from Maryland for 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Herr, your report starts with the line, "We conclude that no criminal charges are warranted in this matter." Have you had any reason to change your opinion about that?
No, ranking member.
You highlight the independence and support you got from the Attorney General and DOJ. Have you changed your mind about that?
I have not.
The report describes President Biden's cooperation in your request. He allowed his homes to be searched. He answered questions for hours in the midst of a global crisis. Have you had any reason to change your mind about that?
No, ranking member.
All right. You also repeatedly contrast Biden's cooperation with the conduct of Donald Trump. You say, quote, "Most notably, after being given multiple chances to return classified documents and avoid prosecution, Mr. Trump allegedly did the opposite. According to the indictment, he not only refused to return the documents for many months, but he also obstructed justice by enlisting others to destroy evidence and then to lie about it." Have you any reason to change your judgment about the differences between President Biden's cooperation and the former president's non-cooperation?
No, I continue to stand by those words in my report.
With such a striking contrast, our colleagues have switched over from being impeachment investigators for constitutional high crimes and misdemeanors, which is how this whole thing started, to being amateur memory specialists, giving us their drive-by diagnoses of the President of the United States, whose soaring oratory, powerful historical analysis, and devastating extemporaneous repartee with even the most skilled ninja hecklers of the Freedom Caucus were on full display.
Skilled ninja hecklers?
Last week for the whole country to see. The desperate quest to invent an issue is a distraction from the 91 federal and state federal charges that Donald Trump faces now, his staggering civil court losses in New York now totaling more than $500 million, and his full-blown embrace and romance with authoritarian dictators and communist tyrants all over the world, from Viktor Orban in Hungary to Vladimir Putin in Russia, the former head of the KGB, to the communist dictator of North Korea. It's not... This, my friends, this is a memory test. But it's not a memory test for President Biden. It's a memory test for all of America. Do we remember fascism? Do we remember Nazism? Do we remember communism and totalitarianism? Have we completely forgotten the sacrifices of our parents and grandparents and prior generations?
God bless him.
While we play pin the tail on the donkey in this wild goose chase, all of these silly games, Donald Trump entertains authoritarian hustler Viktor Orban at Mar-a-Lago for the weekend, and Orban comes out to declare that if we indeed sleepwalk into another Trump presidency, Trump will, quote, not give a single penny to Ukraine. That's what all of this is about. It's about trying to pull the wool over the eyes of America, because the tyrants and dictators of the world are on the march today. So who wins with this ludicrous, embarrassing spectacle? Orban wins. Putin wins. Xi wins. The tyrants of the world win. They have one more reason to celebrate Donald Trump and his cult followers, who've completely lost their way. They're looking for high crimes and misdemeanors.
Whose wife picks up the check? Every penny of it. She does.
Meaners. Now they appoint themselves amateur memory specialists, and that's what they pounce on the President of the United States about. America faces a choice between democracy and tyranny, And the president laid it out at Valley Forge, and he laid it out in the State of the Union. Will America stand on the side of people struggling against fascist aggression? Will we stand with the people of Ukraine against Vladimir Putin, whose filthy war has meant the kidnapping of thousands of Ukrainian children, the murder, the slaughter of thousands of Ukrainian civilians, and the attack on an independent sovereign democracy? But we're not working on that today. We're not standing up for democracy and human rights and international law around the world. No, we're trying to play memory detectives to parse the language of a president who the whole world got to see at the State of the Union address, directly address the real questions of our time. And it is democracy versus dictatorship. And all of the autocrats and the theocrats, all of the kleptocrats of the world are together in league against American democracy. And we have to stand up for American democracy against these stupid games. I yield back, Mr. Chairman.
Damn. So powerful. And now Donald Trump is actively being compared to a Nazi in the Congress of the United States. And the only thing I can say is, well, that took long enough. Jeez. Amateur memory specialists. And let me just throw this out there for the benefit of, for us to ponder as we contemplate HERS reasoning. He engaged in not speculation about the mental acuity and fitness of the President of the United States. No. He engaged in the unauthorized practice of medicine. I feel like maybe a charge should be leveled against him. Practicing medicine without a license. Didn't he? I mean, it's one thing for, you know, plebs like you and me to talk about Nitwit Nero's fitness or mental lack thereof. But this is an official document, this report, this declination report, is an official document of the United States government. And it contains unauthorized, illegal medical diagnoses. And one would think there should be some consequence for that. And I suppose there won't be, but it feels like there should. And Emilio says, don't forget, Trump knows paper. He knows cans. He knows every sheet of paper and can by name. He doesn't like mosquitoes.
A very big brain. Very big.
Flavio says, Jerry Nadler's supercut was awesome. Receipt after receipt after receipt. A thing to behold. And more members of the right and decent side played more clips throughout the hearing. What these dipshit maggots thought was going to be some sort of crushing blow against President Biden got turned into instead an absolute masterclass on the general fucked upness of their orange god emperor. It's a hell of a thing. And Madeline Dean got in on the act as well. As did Joe Neguse. And Madeline Dean made her read the portion of her own text in which he dinged Orange Julius Caesar.
That was not the case with Donald Trump. You have a copy of your report today, don't you, in front of you?
I do.
You read a portion of it for me. Your words, it is page 11, starting on line 3, beginning with the words, "Unlike the evidence involving Mr. Biden," would you read the next few sentences?
"Unlike the evidence involving Mr. Biden, the allegations set forth in the indictment of Mr. Trump, if proven, would present serious aggravating facts."
Keep going.
Congresswoman, I'm happy to have you read the words in my report.
Well, no,
report,
I don't want to read it, lady.
It's more fitting that you read those.
"Most notably, after being given multiple chances to return classified documents and avoid prosecution, Mr. Trump allegedly did the opposite."
Keep going.
"According to the indictment, he not only refused to return the documents for many months, but he also obstructed justice by enlisting others to destroy evidence and then to lie about it."
You may stop there. Thank you.
You may stop there. Oh, he didn't want to do that, did he? Because if his Orange God Emperor gets back into the White House, he wants a seat on a court of appeals. You know, one of those cushy jobs. You know, where he can. I mean, this guy's obviously privileged out the gazoo. He was managing editor of the Law Review at Stanford. He gave off a Kevin Bacon at the other fraternity house vibe from Animal House. Thank you, sir. May I have another? Spank me again, Daddy, and put some stank on it. Like I said, Joe Neguse got in on the act. Everybody got a part to play in this one among the Democrats.
Garland. On February 5th of 2024.
Correct.
Right, okay. And it was then released publicly 3 days later, on February 8th of 2024. Is that right?
I believe that's true, yes.
In the final report that was released, were any of your substantive findings redacted or changed in any way?
No.
None of your findings were modified by the Attorney General?
No.
Did the Attorney General issue any kind of statement or a letter attempting to describe the contents of your report?
No.
Okay. You're familiar, I know, I'm sure, with the investigation that was conducted by Special Counsel Mueller years ago with respect to the former president.
Yes.
And at that time, Attorney General Barr was in charge of the Justice Department. He sat where you sat in this committee. I remember it well, just a few short years ago, testifying on the nature of that particular investigation. Are you familiar with the way in which he released that report and characterized it?
Yes.
Okay. Very different from the way that Attorney General Garland conducted this particular release. I take it you'd agree with that.
They were not the same approach.
Not the same approach, right. In the case of Attorney General Garland, no impeding or interfering with your investigation in any way whatsoever. Releasing the report in full to the American public, not attempting to mischaracterize it or describe it in any way. Dissimilar from Attorney General Barr, who 5 years ago, as you recall, after Special Counsel Mueller submitted his report to the Department of Justice, took nearly a month to release the report to the American public, heavily redacted, and not before he had issued a letter of his own to the leaders of the Senate and House Judiciary Committees, mischaracterizing the contents of that report. That distinction and difference is very important because from your testimony, at least from what I glean from your testimony, is that Attorney General Garland acted appropriately and ethically with respect to this investigation. I take it you agree.
Attorney General Garland did not interfere with my efforts, and I was able to conduct a fair, thorough, and independent investigation.
Well, the fair part is subject to interpretation. And Jessica in Minnesota reminds me that Jesse Ventura was elected governor in 1998 or 99. It was 99, or he served from 99 to 2003, and actually wasn't too bad of a governor. Jesse Ventura will be 73 years old in July of this year, I think. Yeah, July of this year. And he actually wants to be, he wants to be vice president under Rotted FK. And where Rotted FK is concerned, Clarence with a note. Hey, Clarence. The anti-vax ticket, RFK is against vaccines, but I think he has no problem using illicit drugs. Joe Rogan for VP. You got to be shitting me. The insanity is out of control. Oh, it is. Remember, Rotted FK has a heroin bust. Well, you know, Donald Trump can be president. Delay. Flavio says Trump asked for a 10-day extension for him to file his replies to his motions on his motions to dismiss the case. It was a lame ask, a totally foreseeable deadline that had been in place for some time, and in a case with increasingly pressing time constraints, a clear effort to game the proceedings for more time. Despite that, Cannon quickly granted the request. David Kurtz in Talking Points memo. Thank you, Flavio. Of course she did. Because she's corrupt. Emilio on the tipping point for when Mika finally says it. The motherfucker tipping point for Joe or Mika is an unrequested THC edible, I think. Oh, I don't even want to. I don't want to think about poor Mika and mild Mika in the depths of an unanticipated edible buzz. No. Emilio adding, he's not privileged, Robin. He has his entourage vest him, one natural silk pantaloon leg at a time before they brush his teeth for him and do his hair. Hey, Mark, thank you so much. That's tremendous. So we are down to we're down to 10:15 in our fundraising. Mark, that's amazing, and I appreciate it so very much. We all do. And so with another $115, we'll be down to being funded for all of Thursday. Then we'll just have this past Friday to do. Thank you. I cannot thank you enough. Darlene in Connecticut said, too cute by half. Adam Schiff utterly destroyed her today. Oh, he got her shackles up. Hackles. He got her. I'm gonna choke to death on my own tongue tonight. And Flavio pointing out from Jerry Nadler to her, you weren't born yesterday. Her had to know his pronouncements on Biden's mental acuity would cause a firestorm. Sure it did. And I'm so far in the weeds on this. This is so Mad Hatter's Tea Party. Is it conceivable that her wrote the report in the way her did? In order to be able to cast a light on the horrid comparison, between Nitwit Nero's conduct and President Biden's? I guess anything is possible. But they made the fur fly on her. He he, her, was referred to as angry and defensive. And, well, Representative Hank Johnson did that to her. And I think Representative Johnson was right. Representative Johnson is right about what Gabby Johnson is saying. Yes, the fur fly. Ralphs, work with me here.
You are a Republican, though, aren't you?
I am a registered Republican.
Yes, sir. And you're doing everything you can do to get President Trump reelected so that you can get appointed as a federal judge or perhaps to another position in the Department of Justice. Isn't that correct?
Congressman, I have no such aspirations, I can assure you, and I can tell you that partisan politics had no place whatsoever in my work. It had no place in the investigative steps that I took. It had no place in the decision that I made, and it had no place in a single word of my report.
Thank you,
gentlemen,
sir.
Gentlemen's time has expired. The gentleman from New Jersey.
Thank you, Representative Johnson. I mean, because it's so obvious. I don't know if Representative Johnson was watching Joe and Mika this morning when Joe said exactly that, but it was almost verbatim. Well, thank you, Billable Rick. They made the fur fly on her. Cowbell. I'll accept it. It was a heck of a day. Trying to see if we get any more clips, because I really would like to get Schiff's comments. And in point of fact, you know, over in Calhoun County, which is a couple of counties over from where I live, there's actually a little unincorporated wide spot in the road. Who am I kidding? There are no wide spots in the road in Calhoun County. But it's actually called Her, and there was an online newspaper called the Her Herald. It was a fun read. Once upon a time, I don't know if it's still a going concern or not. But we do, yeah. Here's Adam Schiff taking her down a peg. Well, in a minute. Yeah, you know what, Roxanne? It works a lot better when you actually open the channel. Bond.
Corn is recognized. Sir, I want to ask you about some of the differences between the facts involving President Biden and President Trump. But before I do, I want to refer back to your opening statement in which you said that you did not disparage the president, your report. But, of course, you did disparage the president. You disparaged him in terms you had to know would have a maximal political impact. You understood your report would be public, right?
I understood, based on comments that the Attorney General had made, that he had committed to make as much of my report public as consistent with legal policy and legal requirements.
And you could have chosen just to comment on the president's particular recall vis-a-vis a document or a set of documents. But you decided to go further and make a generalized statement about his memory, didn't you?
Congressman, I could have written my report theoretically, in a way that omitted references to the president's memory, but that would have been an incomplete and improper report, and
that
it did not reflect
question,
my analysis.
You could have
the
written,
explanation of my
you
decision
could have written
the
your report
general.
With his with comments about his specific recollection as to documents or a set of documents, but you chose a general pejorative reference to the president. You understood when you made that decision, didn't you, Mr. Herr, that you would ignite a political firestorm with that language, didn't you?
Congressman, politics played no part whatsoever in my investigative steps.
But you understood.
And down comes the lightning bolt.
Mr. Herr, you cannot tell me you're so naive as to think your words would not have created a political firestorm. You understood that, didn't you, when you wrote those words, when you decided to include those words, when you decided to go beyond specific references to documents? You understood how they would be manipulated by my colleagues here on the GOP side of the aisle and by President Trump. You understood that, did you not?
Congressman, what I understood is the regulations that govern my conduct as special counsel.
And those regulations,
me to write a confidential report for the Attorney General,
which you knew would not be confidential.
Explaining my decision, and that
which
is what
knew.
I did, Congressman.
Mr.
I followed
Herr,
the rules.
You knew it would not be confidential.
I followed them.
You knew it would not be confidential, didn't you?
Sir, the regulations required me to write a confidential report explaining my decision to the Attorney General,
which you knew would be released.
It was up to the Attorney General to determine
you understood
what
it would be released.
The report
did you not?
Would be released consistent with DOJ policy.
You understood it would be released. You understood it would be released.
I understood from the Attorney General's public comments that he would make as much of my report public as he could consistent with legal requirements in DOJ.
And you
policy.
Also understand DOJ policy that you are to take care not.
Now, there's a visual here going on that merits mention. During this entire time, there is a humongous blown-up photo of the MAGA-loco toilet surrounded by those white bankers' boxes full of stolen documents. It's unmistakable. The champagne depending from the ceiling over the potty, and what looks like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 15, 20, somewhere around 25, 26, maybe 31 boxes. And the entire time that Herr is responding to Schiff, Herr has to look at that photograph and think about, well, what his experience was like, where he had a cooperative president who completely, as he noted, disclosed everything, returned everything, and meanwhile, there's a photograph of the potty from the tacky-ass mansion in Florida, where the man he hopes will be president will give him a judgeship. Can you imagine that shitbird with a black robe sitting in judgment of anyone? Can you imagine him at the Department of Justice with investigatory power? Because that makes my liver quiver.
To prejudice the interests of the subject of an investigation, right?
That is generally one of the interests that DOJ policy requires that prosecutors respect.
And it was your obligation to follow that policy in this report, was it not?
It was also my obligation to write a confidential report for the Attorney General explaining completely
but
my
what
decision.
What you did write was deeply prejudicial to the interests of the president. You say it wasn't political, and yet you must have understood. You must have understood the impact of your words. You must have understood the impact of your decision to go beyond the specifics of a particular document, to go to the very general, to your own personal prejudicial subjective opinion of the president, one you knew would be amplified by his political opponent, when you knew that would influence a political campaign. You had to understand that. And you did it anyway. And you did it anyway. And let me just go to some of the differences here between the president's conduct and Mr. Trump's. In the superseding indictment, on page 3, it says that Mr. Trump suggested that his attorney falsely represent to the FBI and grand jury that he did not have documents called for by the grand jury subpoena. You didn't find anything like that with respect to Mr. Biden, did you?
Congressman, I do not have the Trump indictment in front of me, but I need to address something that you said in your prior question. What you were suggesting is that I needed to provide a different version of my report that would be fit for public release. That is nowhere in the rules. I was to prepare a confidential report that was comprehensive and thorough of an
explanation. What is in the rules, Mr. Herr, what is in the rules is you don't gratuitously do things to prejudice the subject of an investigation when you're declining to prosecute. You don't gratuitously add language that you know will be useful in a political campaign. You were not born yesterday. You understood exactly what you were doing. It was a choice. You certainly didn't have to include that language. You could have said, vis-a-vis the documents that were found at the university, the president did not recall. There is nothing more common. You know this. I know this. There is nothing more common with a witness of any age when asked about events that are years old to say, I do not recall. Indeed, they're instructed by their attorney to do that if they have any question about it. You understood that. You made a choice. That was a political choice. It was the wrong choice. Mr. Chairman, I yield back.
Gentleman yields back. Gentleman from Arizona, did the special counsel wish to respond to that final question?
Yes, Congressman, what you are suggesting is that I shape, sanitize, omit portions of my reasoning and explanation to the Attorney General for political reasons.
No, I suggest that you not shape your report for political reasons, which is what you did.
That did not happen, Congressman. That did not happen.
Meanwhile, Herr looks up and says, hey, where'd my lunch go? Why is Adam Schiff eating
my lunch?
Because he did. And that's what Darlene means when she says that Herr's testimony was too cute by half. Because am I mistaken? Is Adam Schiff has been in the DOJ, has he not? Wasn't he an assistant U.S. attorney or a U.S. attorney or some sort something along those lines? I want to think that he was. And then, that wasn't all there was to it. Because Eric Swalwell got his licks in, too. Get that called up. Don't have the audio on that. But he picked up where Hank Johnson left off. Addressing Herr, Swalwell said, you want to be perceived, understandably, as credible, and so I want to first see if you will pledge not to accept an appointment from Donald Trump if he is elected again as president. Herr, again, too cute by half, said, I'm not here to testify today about what will happen in the future. Swalwell rejoined, seems like an easy answer considering what I just laid out. I'm here to talk about the report and the work that went into it. Yeah, but you don't want to be associated with that guy again, do you? Congressman, I'm not here to offer any opinions about what may or may not happen in the future. I'm here to talk about the work that went into the report, which I stand by. Where's that Oliver Wendell Douglas fife and drum corps? He couldn't disavow his love for his orange god emperor. Yep, there we are. Thank you, Billable Rick, serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Adam Schiff Research Department. He worked as an assistant U.S. attorney in the criminal division of the U.S. Attorney's Office in L.A., my former office, just before I joined it in June 1991. Well, Billable, when are you going to Congress? I think you need to go, too. Now, then again, I don't Surely to God there's a nine-ball tournament somewhere in D.C. with karaoke. You know, I'm playing, Rick. So, yeah, and as it showed during the impeachment hearings, all of it, Adam Schiff knows how to conduct a witness examination. And I think it was pretty devastating to her. Thanks for the info, Billable. Darlene, her projections. See what I did? I'll let myself out with you. Let's see. Darlene said it's really worth playing. About a minute and 30 seconds. Okie dokie.
To the transcript and day one, Eric page Swalwell. 47. You said to President Biden, you appear to have a photographic understanding and recall of the House. Did you say that to President Biden?
Those words do appear on page 47 of the transcript.
Photographic is what you said. Is that right?
That word does appear on page 4.
You said that, right? That does appear on the paper. Maybe it's one of those things where you write it in lemon juice and hold it up to a warm light bulb. In this exchange, Darlene says, her equals TGDR, typical goddamned Republican. Yeah, hackle, shackle, smackles. I can make it work, LOL. Make it work, girl. Yes, you do. Steve getting in on the act. That word does appear, and the gun just went off. Emilio has started the campaign. Billable for Congress. Billable for Congress. Na 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 na. No, that wasn't even singing. Humming or something. I don't know. Bill, stop calling me Shirley. You can see yourself out too, Billable. Everybody's gonna have to see themselves out by the end of this program. We gotta have a little relief. Lee in New York, are bankers' boxes the closest nitwit Nero will get to having a bank balance? The closest he'll get to receiving money for the sale of his property? The closest Melanoma to getting any assets when they divorce? The closest he'll get to selling the documents contained within? All of which is cowbell worthy. And speaking of that enduring romance between Nitwit Nero and Melanoma. Well, apparently all is not well in Magaloco Loveland. Yeah, maybe we'll get to that in a few minutes. This is not a gossip column. Oh, I'm gonna keep playing it. Make no mistake, Darlene. Here we go.
47 of the transcript.
Never appeared in your report, though. Is that correct? The word photographic?
That does not appear in my report.
I now.
That word does appear in the transcript. That word does not appear in my report. That's Special Counsel Robert Hur, who's more like a GOP operative. You see Robert Hur right there under questioning from Democrat Eric Swalwell. Robert Hur testifying before the House of Representatives today about the report that he prepared. And as part of the narrative that came out from that report was that President Biden had a bad memory and couldn't recall dates, not to mention that the report completely exonerated President Biden. The report said that President Biden committed no crime.
And Marcellus, by the way.
The report itself was very defamatory. It was utilized by all the major media to pursue a narrative that President Biden had a bad memory, that he was old, that he was not capable of remembering basic things. And when you actually read the transcript, and folks, this is why we always say in the Midas Touch Network, read the transcript, not the narratives that are put out there. The transcript says, Mr. Hur, understood. That was very helpful, referring to what President Biden just said. We have some photographs to show you, but you appear to have a photographic understanding and recall of the House, a photographic understanding. And then as White House advisor Ian Sam says, he goes, you can't make this stuff up. When you go to page 72 of the transcript, it's not President Biden who admits to misremembering things from moments earlier. It's the special counsel, Robert Hur himself. Robert Hur says, and please correct me if I'm misremembering what you told us, but I think you mentioned a couple of file cabinets that I think you said purchased in order to place them into the Chainbridge Road residence. Did I hear you correctly, or am I misremembering? And then President Biden goes, no. I don't remember having brought any. I may have actually, I'm not sure. And Mr. Hur goes, I may be misremembering. And by the way, you really can't make this stuff up, folks, because in the very first sentence, as pointed out by Kyle Cheney here, in the very first sentence, the first part of Robert Hur's interview with President Biden, which has now become not about what it was supposed to be about, which is whether a crime was committed, which it expressly said there was no crime committed. It's about Biden's grasp of detail of dates and recall. Hur gets the time of day wrong. He starts off like the very way this interview starts is Robert Hur, the special counsel, saying, good morning, everybody, Mr. President. Thank you for the time. Actually, it's the afternoon. He doesn't remember that it is now the afternoon and no longer in the morning. And now that the transcript has been released, a lot of the media outlets are changing their tune after, frankly, defaming President Biden. For example, the Wall Street Journal, and this is pointed out by Matthew Gertz, who does a great job at Media Matters. The Wall Street Journal ran 17 stories about Biden's mental fitness in the 4 days following the Hur report. After reviewing the transcript, the paper concludes that it shows Biden veering into frequent digressions, but not stumped on basic factual questions. And then similarly, when you go to the Washington Post's analysis of this report as it compares to the actual transcript, the Washington Post says that President Biden, quote, doesn't come across as being absent-minded as Hur has made him out to be. Folks, that's a very big deal right here. And as we've been pointing out at the Midas Touch Network, we've seen Biden speaking. I go to the source. We show you Biden's speeches here. We show you when Biden's speaking from the Oval Office or when he's out on the campaign trail speaking about various issues. And you saw President Biden with your own eyes at the State of the Union. And I know there's this whole narrative out there of, oh my gosh, President Biden was so great. Well, he's not Sleepy Joe. Y'all are creating this narrative because you're buying into the right-wing propaganda hype to begin with. That if you watch President Biden's other speeches, you would know that the State of the Union was not some aberration. The State of the Union is how President Biden speaks. I met President Biden. We spent a lot of time together out in Pueblo, Colorado. I was impressed with President Biden. He was as competent, smart, intelligent as I've seen of any high-level leader in my career, and far in excess of that, I would say. And then you compare that, of course, to Donald Trump's speeches and what Donald Trump says. Donald Trump can't even put sentences together. And so the ultimate projection from the right-wing media is basically saying that President Biden is doing the things that Donald Trump is doing all of the time. And then all the other media buys into that hype. You have the special counsel, Robert Hur, who was supposed to be investigating whether President Biden had willfully retained national defense information, which President Biden expressly did not. And it was determined that Biden did not commit the crime of willfully retaining national defense information. By the way, which is given new light and import now that we know, for example, that Brian Butler, Donald Trump's 20-year employee at Mar-a-Lago, just spoke to CNN and talked about Donald Trump giving away nuclear secrets to members at Mar-a-Lago and how Donald Trump just haphazardly and carelessly threw around these classified and top secret documents at Mar-a-Lago and then tried to conceal it. But you compare a President Biden speech to a Donald Trump speech. So what I like that Democrats did in the opening remarks of Robert Hur's testimony is they showed Donald Trump's speeches and they took a look at Robert Hur and they said, well, we want to show you. Why don't we show you what Donald Trump did? This is Jerry Nadler, Democratic Congress member, who chairs the Judiciary Committee.
Okay, we did that part. But, you know, this is all. And then the question remains, why does the multimillionaire for-profit media continually run with the deliberately prevaricative, deliberately mendacious, deliberately dirty, deliberately dishonest garbage that comes flowing out of the maggot cesspool? I mean, we've got experience now. We've got 6, 7 years now, 8 years of knowing that everything that the maggot party says is either projection or confession. And in the case of this business about President Biden's mental fitness, it's both. It's both pressed down and shaken together. That having been said, we are near the halfway point of this Titanic Tuesday, and let's see who's on the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Robin, I've got one question.
Yes, sir?
What role did Lou Wallace play in the appointment of Robert Hur?
And This is why you are a precious and cherished member of the Horn Family Community Congregation, because I know I can always count on you. For those not aware, Lou Wallace wrote Ben-Hur.
He was also an amateur phrenologist.
A general in the
Union Army, an amateur phrenologist. A member of the military tribunal that convicted the Lincoln conspirators and damned Mary Surratt to hanging under some dubious procedures.
Right, and then ignored the Supreme Court of the United States and carried out the execution just the same.
Exactly, and for folks
who may not be entirely aware, phrenology was the bullshit pseudoscience of presuming to read the personality traits of an individual by feeling the bumps on their noggins. Have I got that correct?
That's using your head, Robin. Yeah,
using the old bean. It's got some bumps. But,
anyway... Mr. Wallace wrote part of Ben-Hur here in Indianapolis.
I had no idea.
In a neighborhood I know well. But it seems like, oh, and by the way, when Lew Wallace served on the military tribunal, he had absolutely no legal experience, not even a cup of coffee in law school.
Why am I not surprised?
You know, if he were alive today, Donald Trump could have appointed him to the federal bench.
And probably would. And by the way, Emilio, and I think this is a quality observation, Emilio says, Dave, no one wants an amateur phrenologist. That's why I pay extra for the real deal.
Yeah, but it's always a bumpy proposition, Emilio.
You know, we started on the downhill side of this program, Dave, and there's no upside, apparently.
I'm trying to elevate the humor of this program, Robin. Work with me, girl.
I'm trying. I really am. But when in a just world operated by the goddess of irony, he's got a middle name. Is it okay if we at least hope that it's Benjamin?
Yes. Judah Ben-Hur, yeah.
Jesus.
Well, of course.
This particular show is doomed. I mean, it was bad enough last night because Podbean was down for maintenance, so I didn't get the show uploaded until this morning. And now I don't know if I want to upload this one.
Oh, come on, Robin. This is some of my classy material.
No, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me for the last hour and 25 minutes.
Well, I mean, look at the quality of the material you had to work with. You had Bobby Herr saying, well, that's in the report. Well, that's on page whatever. And he never said, yeah, I said that.
Wait, you know, if you Southern... Hold on a minute. I just realized something. You said Bobby Herr, and then I realized if you get kind of redneck about it and say it quick, he turns into a piece of fishing tackle. Bob Herr. Better reel it in. Your bobber just went under the water. And Steve, okay. Steve in New York said, this program, don't upload. If anyone asks, just say it floated away in the gutter.
So have we figured out how many S-bombs Mr. Scarborough has to throw before it counts as a motherfucker?
Well, no, I don't think it's a direct equivalence, Dave. It's more like how many does he get to before standards and practices upstairs just throws does the whole thing like pulling the pint bottle out of their suit and seeing it as empty and throwing it over their shoulder and saying, screw it, tell her she can call him a motherfucker.
Well, even though shit can be used now on the air, and I understand why Mika was going, no, because she knew Joe was going to go even further if she didn't put the brakes on him. And Mika, dear, you know, so they hit you with $1 million fine.
You know, the thing is, though, they got done with lunch and, you know, they leave work because they've been there since 4 o'clock. And I just have this vision of her looking proudly at him as she sometimes does, having feigned all that shock and outrage this morning. But she turns to him, opens her phone, hits a button, and the Starland vocal band singing Afternoon Delight starts playing.
Oh, good Lord.
See? At this point, there's no point in trying to salvage any of this. None.
No. No. As a matter of fact, Zbigniew is probably looking from somewhere in the eternity going, my poor little girl.
I told her not to marry that dunce. That is one of the funniest stories, though. The first time that he met his future father-in-law, Zbigniew Brzezinski looked at Joe Scarborough and said, you have got to be the dumbest man I've ever met in my life.
Oh, it gets even better. When they decided to get married, Donald Trump offered to perform the ceremony, and she said, absolutely not. Because they were on the air, and Trump had offered to marry them at the White House. Because she asked them if they could hold the ceremony at the White House. I mean, obviously, that's a place that has a lot of meaning for her growing up. Trump offered to marry them, and she said, absolutely not. So, you know, Mika has her moments.
That she does.
I'm still waiting for the motherfucker. I'm still waiting for the motherfucker. I mean, let's face it. Granted, it was a right-wing FCC that fined Howard Stern $1 million for using the word penis on the air. But, you know, I think they can get away with $1 million, $1.5 million. For a motherfucker. I think they could get by with that. So. But it's obvious the goddess of irony has the Scarborough clan in the palm of her ever loving hand.
Yes.
And she's not afraid to squeeze. But I have some news from Chicago.
Yes. Do tell.
Well, Christine fell today.
Fell?
She's got a bruise, but not anything serious enough to go to the hospital side to get treated. She's just a little sore. They are going to give her an entirely new computer setup that's set up specifically for her that she's training on now. She's working on how to use her iPhone. And they gave her a guitar and she started strumming it and liked it and wants to learn to play it. So they're going to start teaching her to play the guitar.
Well, how cool.
She said, I still can't sing. I said, yeah, but you could strum the guitar and entertain yourself and the cats. The cats would be very appreciative. Hell, they might even try to lend a paw and, you know, have like a double picking session, one with her picking the strings and one with them picking the strings. But I think that'd be a bit of a catastrophe, but oh well. Who am I to question the cast's wisdom on such matters? They just look over at me and go, Dad, you're out of your mind.
But
she's excited about that. But she's also thinking about getting a swimsuit and doing some water aerobics while she's there.
Oh, how nice.
She's engaging more than she has in the last couple of times she's been there. And she has a ringtone that announces to the world when I call that there is an asshole on the other end of the line waiting to talk to her. And she's trying to get that back on her phone.
Love. You were serious about that, weren't you?
Yes, I am absolutely serious about that. Being the president of the North American Assholes Association, I'm honored in her acknowledgement of my.
Are the offices thereof also housed down at Crazy Dave's Crucifixion Emporium?
Well, as a matter of fact, yes, they are. And when Donnie
How did I know?
There, but, when Donnie comes to visit Eric at work, I make him refer to me as Mr. President. It kind of pisses him off.
He gets a little more orange than usual.
Well,
or does the purple glow through?
No, he gets more of that brother love vibe from his old wrestling days. He gets a little redder in the face. We're expecting an explosion all over the shop floor one of these days. There's a pool going down at the loading dock. The Teamsters have a pool going down there. I threw in a couple of real fake bucks. I mean, hey, why not? Who's going to argue with the Teamsters? Come on. And dipshit Donnie's getting all upset that the Gladys treats Eric like gold but won't give him the time of day. And I told him, I said, Donnie, you got to be nicer. You know, you can't just be your usual bullshitting self. She's not going to come up off the Jell-O molds or the rum and raisin cookies or anything like that if you're being a real dick about these sorts of things. He goes, well, it's swollen. I'm like, yes, of course, I'll defer to Stormy Daniels' professional observation. In all seriousness, this guy burns through more money, and the maggots will keep funding him, even though he's supposed to be this multi-billionaire. Well, if he's this multi-billionaire, why didn't he pay his own lawyers? I mean,
because he's broke. I mean, that works for me.
Yeah, but you use something called a brain, Robin. We're talking your average maggot. You know, the ones that say even when Donald's lying, he's telling the truth. You haven't listened to you've heard one of them say that.
True enough.
Usually that comes from the evangelicals who are trying to justify their position. And the only thing that comes out is, he's God's anointed on earth. Really? When did he get anointed? Did somebody sling Crisco in his direction?
Crisco flinging. Oh, by the way, Billable Rick says, Robin, stop telling us what we can and can't salvage. Oh, Billable, trust me. When I'm talking about this program, I know of which I speak. And,
You see enough sinking shows in your time.
Nitwit Nero performing a wedding. Lee in New York says, I can imagine him. After the couple says, I do, Nitwit Nero would say, I may now kiss the bride. And P.S., apologies for ruining anyone's meal. Yeah, well, I mean, I think I put paid to that almost from the beginning of the program.
Let it be on the record that I had nothing to do with any of that. this evening.
Absolutely true. And so I'm sad to report that Ralph's serving as the Horn ad hoc bobber research department has let us know that, unfortunately, his middle name is not Ben. Damn it.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, Ralph is an all-around great resource.
Yes, she
is. I mean, she goes all out to get the information out there. I honestly think that it's looking better for Joe Biden at this point so far. Money wise, I'm seeing a lot more enthusiasm among Democrats and progressives. Now, if they'll just stop repeating what Donald Trump puts out there for the Purity Brigade. And if you think Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is any kind of candidate, he's not the man his father was. Not even close.
Hell, he's not the man his cousin was, or any of his, well, or true. Either, or any of his uncles or aunties. He's just trash.
As a matter of fact, what was it? Didn't Eunice look? He's ill.
I seem to recall something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, she said, you know, I wasn't, but he's not.
He ain't okay.
He's not in a good place mentally, yeah. And I don't think she's casting aspersions on him because of his mental health issues. I think she's just telling people flat out his ideas are just not right. And that's got to be painful to some members of the Kennedy family. I mean, they have a history of problems with health, including mental health. Ted, Bobby, and John had a sister who had been
lobotomized,
shut away in an asylum.
And lobotomized.
Yeah. And she was never talked about. And she lived to be like 72 or 73.
Wasn't that Rosie?
I think so. But she's also one of the reasons Ted Kennedy fought so hard for the Americans with Disabilities Act.
Yes.
So that sort of thing wouldn't happen. I've got to go back and listen through the book Enabling Acts, which is a book about how that law came to be. The Americans with Disabilities Act, if it pisses off the right wing that much, we got to be doing something, right? I remember before he started squeezing out pineapples, Rush Limbaugh was a big fan of criticizing it. And it would have protected his job, because if they tried to fire him, he could have had a case of than firing and not making proper accommodations for his intellectual disabilities. So he, you know, we need to, and I think that the Democrats handled this beautifully with her and made him, making him read his own excerpt from his own
those words. Those, the words do appear. Poof. They're just there.
Yeah, but when the congresswoman made him read them verbatim and then said, you may stop, I'm thinking, that brought no...
That was a spanking.
Yes, I've only seen that kind of thing in a courtroom a couple of times. Where, you know, instead of going on past where the lawyer wants him to go, where that's enough, you know. And that was the kind of vibe you got, was that he was getting spanked on oh so many levels. And, you know, the for-profit media tried to say that Republicans had problems with him. Well, the only problems they had with him were that their God Emperor was compared to what Joe Biden did and not in a favorable light in that report. And it was a matter of record because by the time Hearst's report came out, the indictments for Nero were already filed. So you can, and he said, according to the indictment, he didn't make a comment about whether Nero was guilty or not, so he wasn't violating DOJ policy there. But I think Nadler had him by the short and curlies when he's going, you must have known this was going to cause a problem. Because it's the only reason I can think that he put in these asides about his observations of the president's mental acuity. And I don't believe he has an MD at the end of his name in any way.
No.
So the only doctor he's got is jurisprudence. And God help the law school that handed him his sheepskin. But I begin to wonder, was this guy a legacy? You know, well, the law school needs a new library wing. Who have we got on tap? Yeah. Oh, Mr. Hearst applied. Well, that's worth a bit of cash. We'll let him come to it.
Her applied. Who? Her. Yeah. Who? It gets into Abbott and Costello territory pretty quickly. By the way, going back to Newt Nero for just a minute. More than that, says Darlene in Connecticut, if he can get someone else to pay his obligations, he's going to do it. He's a narcissist who doesn't take responsibility. He sees it as a win and being clever. If somebody else pays his debts, then he sees it as more money in his pocket. He's being smart.
Smart.
Same approach he takes by not paying taxes. That's absolutely true, Darlene. And by the way, we have an inquiry from Ken in Erie, namely subject line, Crazy Dave's Crucifixion Emporium. Ken asks, are Yin's going to have a fire sale before Easter?
No, because we're located in the heart of Klan country. We don't want them believing that we're supporting their cause. So we can
see that's why you are the marketing maven that you are, Dave.
However, we do give now to be clear, we do give normal crucifixion runs about $20,000 to $30,000 in real fake dollars, since I run a real fake business. But we do give discounts for right-wing douchebags, you know, televangelists or right-wing politicians, or just fat right-wing douchebags who need the extra suspension on the pogo stick to jump up there on the top. While we provide the pogo sticks, we also provide the technicians to nail them in. And you can't bring your own sign. We'll put the IR nailed in right above your head. And by the way, the gang down at the shop says hi, Robin.
Oh, hey. And, hey, fellas. Hey, Gladys.
The next time you decide to come through this way, let us know, and we'll send Punchy, our private pilot who brings in our VIPs. He also goes in for the full Jesus crucifixion experience for those who want to go through that. He plays the governor of Judea.
Really? You've got a quality pilot?
No,
I'm sure knowing the quality of the people down at Crazy Dave's Crucifixion Emporium, he's not a pilot.
Well,
wait, there's a joke happening. Wait. I'm sure given the quality of the personnel down at Crazy Dave's Crucifixion Emporium, he's not a pilot light.
No, he's not a pilot light, but he is a punchy pilot. He used to box golden gloves.
He's not all washed up, though, is he?
No, he's taken a few shots in the head, but he can still speak in complete sentences.
Pilot all washed up. Yeah. You know, the program's now all the way down to making Bible puns. I don't think there's any redemption. See what I did there? Oh. And by the way, Tamara says, I love when we've all let ourselves out and everyone's smoking out back with the sinners. This is a well-needed fun program. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Tamara. It's kind of like last night with Todd. I mean, that got downright silly.
Well, you know what, Robin? I think we ought to gather together all of the individuals we know that do imitations of Nero. Sit us all around a table, and then we argue as Nitwit Nero with ourselves, just to give the general public an idea of the sloshing around and the gray settlings of his brain pan. It's kind of like when they did the point of view episode of Pinky and the Brain, when you actually got to hear what Pinky was thinking before he said something.
Yes.
Yeah, that's kind of the way that would work. But we really need to poke fun at these people and realize that, yes, while they're dangerous and they're a pain in the ass, we need to keep pointing that out. Because it's the one thing they cannot defend against is humor.
No, and they hate it. They hate it. It's just like the old abbot in The Name of the Rose.
Oh, the Venerable Yorgi?
Yes.
Yeah. Venerable Yorgi, who is blind and wouldn't want to see any other point of view than his own. Yes. But they want to claim God. They want to claim the flag. They want to claim faith.
I it's not an official cowbell or anything, but I just got a compliment from Reverbo. Quote, wait, there's a joke happening here. Robin Kincaid, March 12th, 2024. I mean, when the pun is that bad, you have to clear space for it, Dave. I'm sorry to have interrupted you the way I did, but, well.
Well, either that or if it was truly bad, you know, I would misquote the bard and look over at you and say, get thee to a party.
Oh, stop it. And Emilio has awarded Tamara a cowbell. We do need silly fun this week. We do. When do we not?
Yes, we do. Tamara is absolutely correct.
Pilot light. Redemption.
But
there's no hope.
But everybody, I want you to understand that we got a long fight ahead of us, and I will be here writing my jokes in my head. And it took me 3 days to get Katie Britt out of my skull.
Well, I've got a This Day in History for you.
Oh?
This is this is interesting. On this day in 1088... Pope.
So we're going back a couple of days.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah, Pope Urban II was elected Pope at Rome. And so that's 936 years ago. And he was the... he's the Pope who started the First Crusade.
Well, you know, and if he decided to go to his country house, would that make him a suburban?
You hear this? Do you hear this?
Yes, I know. I'll get the crazy, you know. Somebody's going to grab the crozier and end up
The llama is barely walking on two legs at this point. She's a mess. I know.
Oh, she is. I know. It's just terrible. It's just terrible. And I apologize to the llama for doing that. I know she's a hardworking llama. We love her. Just keep up the good work, dear. You're doing okay.
Everything's going to be all right.
Right, and bad jokes notwithstanding, because I don't tell bad. There are no bad jokes, only misunderstood ones.
So I did mention a little bit ago, Dave, that a former advisor to melanoma. Says that she thinks the marriage is not exactly strong. Stephanie Winston Wolkoff, who wrote Melania and Me, said that the fact that Nitwit Nero is no longer behaving chivalrously toward her is not a good sign. Chivalry for Donald was waiting for Melania to go first and ensuring she walked by his side. He's been doing neither recently. Take a look, and she posted a video that showed older footage of Nitwit Nero putting his hand on her back and letting her walk ahead of him, compared to more recently of him just walking away in front of her.
Well, You know, you called it a few years ago that he would end up acting like his old Klansman daddy before he shuffled off the mortal coil. And Donnie seems to be doing it a lot earlier than Fred did.
Well, once again, Sage Todd, he ain't going to make it.
Yeah, well, from Todd's mouth to God's ear.
I think
but that only...
We're going to see it, and then Todd will have a really cushy gig with the National Enquirer, being as how they don't have Gene Dixon anymore.
So he'll be working for a pecker then.
True enough. By the way, you got a very, very big groan from Ralphs. Just groan. Oh.
I got a big groan from Ralphs?
Yeah. Oh.
How did I offend her?
Oh, for the puns.
What? Did they do a pun?
Yeah, I think that was the one.
I think, okay. I said I was going to be misquoting him. It's not like I didn't warn you folks.
Well, at least you didn't go, you people. Well, Dave, I tell you what, please tell Christine that I hope she's okay. And I'm looking forward to hearing about her adventures with the guitar.
I am too. And I'll let her know.
She has to learn how to play. Well, first she has to learn how to play Michael Row the Boat Ashore, because Roy Clark made us all aware that that's how you learn to play the guitar, is to learn Michael Row the Boat Ashore. But after that, she has to learn how to play Country Roads. Take Me Home, Country Roads.
Well, I was thinking maybe she could. It may take her a couple of years, but I'm waiting for Inagata DeVito.
Really?
Why not? Inagata DeVito on an acoustic? Come on. That'd be, if she could pull that off, Jose Feliciano would be looking over and going, damn, girl.
Oh, by the way, Billable Rick says Dave and the Blind is channeling Giraffe today. What's in the water in Indy?
You don't want to know, Billable. There's an advisory against eating any fish out of the White River. So, I mean, the White River is so polluted you can't eat the fish out of it. So you don't really want to know what's in the water. There have been more cases of Superfund sites in and around central Indiana than I care to shake a stick at.
That's frightening.
Probably
a lot of mercury, you know, from burning all that coal.
A great deal of lead, considering a lot of houses in Indianapolis have not done any kind of lead abatement. And in some of the older neighborhoods, there's still lead-based paint on the houses. My dad told me that the federal government considers any house built in 1977 or before as contaminated with lead. Because that's when they banned the manufacture of lead-based paint for household use.
Yeah.
So
it explains the Republican politics, doesn't it? Talibandians just sitting around eating paint chips with onion dip.
Well, now what you eat with the paint chips is more like with an Elmer's glue chaser.
Well, okay, yeah, a little Elmer's glue with some dehydrated onion pieces in it. Sure.
That is the traditional dip for the lead-based paint chips. Yes.
Absolutely. Or, you know, add a little of that Knorr French onion soup mix to it. Get right, take you where you want to go. Dave, have a wonderful evening, my friend.
You too, Robin. And everybody have fun. And I'm going to go now and make my cup of coffee in the Scott Marinoff Memorial Coffee Shop. So I'll talk to you later.
Well, slunjava.
Good night.
We'll talk to you later, Dave. Bye. Dave and the Blind is truly sui generis. Nobody quite like him. Let's see. Well, lines are open if you want to jump into the program. That's cool. We are at the top of the third hour. We are into the third hour of the program. And if we were to raise another $115, we'd be fully funded for last Thursday. Thank you, Mark, for making sure that we're not a goose egg today. Thank you so very much. Katie Britt continues to be the gift that keeps on giving. And last night on the Daily Show, Jon Stewart highlighted one particular aspect of that nightmare vision. And, you know, he's working in the wake of the SNL send up of it. So that meant that you know, he had to find something new. And he did.
The big event we need to talk about is the Oscars of politics. The State of the Union address last Thursday night. Joseph Raisinette Biden the 12th.
Raisinette, really.
He had the unenviable task of having to lay out his vision for the nation whilst also demonstrating that he is not too old, not too tired to be the president of the United States, and that he wouldn't rather just tie thousands of balloons to the White House and head to Paradise Falls. And so, President Biden entered the House chamber, navigating through our divided Congress and barely getting past the bridge troll who guards the podium. What say you, sir?
Sporkfoot.
I say to the American people, when America gets knocked down, we get back up. My message to President Putin, who I've known for a long time, is simple. We will not walk away. Banning books, it's wrong. I say, stop it. Stop it, stop it, stop it. Pass universal background checks. Send me the border bill now. The state of our union is strong and getting stronger.
Which one of you pricks wants to fight? Put up your dukes. Biden's back, baby. I know that all the haters have been out there talking their shit. He's too old. He's too weak. He can't make it. He won't be able to stand. Oh, I see you haters. I know who you are.
He holds a mirror up to his own face.
Really? You know, we said in rehearsal, can you get me a prettier mirror? And boy, boy, did they deliver. That is...
it's blingy.
Of course, by the way, State of the Union was just the Democratic message.
Would that message survive? Would that message survive a concise and intelligent rebuttal? What happens? It happened on Thursday. I should read the whole thing, though. I should. Would it survive a concise and intelligent rebuttal from the GOP? Or whatever it was that Alabama Senator Katie Britt... To the kitchen, Batman!
Our families are hurting. Our country can do better. President Biden's border policies are a disgrace. Mr. President, enough is enough. End this crisis and stop the suffering. We see you. We hear you. And we stand with you.
If you're going to stand with me, could you stand a little bit further away? I imagine one of her kids just came downstairs and was like, I'm sorry, Mom, I just came down to get a bowl of cereal. I didn't realize you were losing your f-ing mind. I'll come back when the Zannies kick in. Now, look, everybody's had a bit of a go at Senator Britt because her rebuttal was objectively terrible. But there was one moment in her rebuttal that didn't get as much attention that I thought was quite interesting.
We are the party of hardworking parents and families. So I am asking you, for the sake of your kids and your grandkids, get into the arena. Never forget, we are steeped in the blood of patriots who overthrew the most powerful empire in the world.
Two things. One, who smiles when they say the line, steeped in the blood of patriots? And number two, this is just one more entry in the Republican mythology that they are the inheritors of the American revolutionary tradition, that they somehow are more American-y than non-Republican Americans.
We are the party of the real American people.
Real America, where people work.
Ronna Romney McDaniel, Chuckles Grassley.
They don't want to transform America like the Democratic Party wants to do.
This liberal bubble in New York, or, you know, in California.
Weirdos on Fox.
Real Americans are at.
The Democrat elite very simply hate
Tulsi
America.
Tulsi Gabbard.
I don't think they hate America. They hate room temperature yoga, is really. Yoga's supposed to be very hot. Just out of curiosity, what is it about the Republican Party that makes it Americanier than the rest of us?
We're the party and ideology of the Constitution.
Every decision that I make starts with asking the questions, is this constitutional?
I believe.
Mark Levin, the man with the voice made for print. Followed by Christy Noem, and then Mike Lee, constitutional scholar.
Eve, in this document, I carry it with me next to my heart because I refer to it daily.
As we all know, the Constitution
Virginia double X Fox.
With the three most important words outside the Bible: "We the people."
The power of we the people.
We. Elsie Stupidnik, Jim Jackadoff Jordan, Mark Levin again.
We believe in it. They do not.
Why'd you rip it up? That was your copy. You said that that's what they do, but you did it. You ripped it up. It's like Sinead O'Connor's like, I believe in the Pope. Ramp. But, oh, yes, it's an article of faith that Republicans love the Constitution. They give speeches in front of the Constitution. They cover their buses in the Constitution. They dress up like the people who wrote the Constitution. Do you, communists? with your unconstitutioned buses and zero cornered hats? That's why these patriots love Donald Trump. For he alone will restore the rule of law in our constitutional republic.
Trump's lawyer claimed the president has a legal license to murder his American political rivals.
Pocket Constitution.
I actually keep my heart next to my Constitution. That's how important. My hands are shaking. I'm so nervous. I don't see anything in here about assassinating your political rivals. Oh, wait, 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 wait. Here it is. Hold on. It says the president must faithfully execute. Well, I think we're done here. Oh. Sorry. The laws of the land. Never mind. Well, I don't want to be a nitpicker, but I do not remember the assassination episode of Schoolhouse Rock. Under the Constitution, wouldn't you get in some trouble for that?
I feel that as a president, you have to have immunity. Very simple.
Yes, it is the bedrock American constitutional principle. The president must be above the law. Out of reach of the law. Look, forget the Constitution. Accountability to the law of the land is basic Magna Carta shit. Keep a tiny Magna Carta in my... You know what? I'm sorry. This is just a flip book. Hold on. Oh, a dog's never going to catch that car. Maybe they like Trump because he's more of a Bill of Rights guy.
President Trump attacking the First Amendment and freedom of the press.
You take the writer and or the publisher of the paper, a certain paper that you know, and you say, who is the leaker? National Security. And they say, we're not going to tell you. They say, that's okay, you're going to jail. And when this person realizes that he is going to be the bride of another prisoner very shortly.
I believe it was Thomas Jefferson who once said, our liberty depends on the freedom of the press. Though obviously, as with any right, there is some wiggle room for non-consensual ass Don't blame me, that's Jefferson. He said that. Thomas Jefferson. Look it up. Hold on, let me get... But that's the press. The press are the enemy of the people. How does Trump feel about freedom of assembly?
He says, can't you just shoot them? Just shoot them in the legs or something. And he's suggesting that that's what we should do, that we should bring in the troops and shoot the protesters.
The commander-in-chief was suggesting that the U.S. military shoot protesters.
Yes, in the streets
American
of our
protesters.
Nation's capital. That's right.
Well, they'd still be free to assemble, just the assembly would be more of a pile. That's all. But that's just hearsay from Trump's Secretary of Defense at the time. Look, how about the Fifth Amendment, due process?
Very simply, if you rob a store, you can fully expect to be shot as you are leaving that store.
What the f*** are we doing? You know, I'm pretty sure that shooting a guy on suspicion of stealing a pair of khakis violates not only the Constitution, but the Ten Commandments and the Gap Employee Handbook. All right. I promise you that is the end of the things in my jacket. Now, we've had our fun dancing around the former president's rather eccentric interpretations of our country's founding document. May I offer you something more explicit?
I only want to be a dictator for one day.
Just so you know, that is how it starts. I'm not saying anybody has to do the arm salute. Let's just start with a few people doing the arm salute, and we'll see if the arm salute catches on. Ignoring the Bill of Rights, tearing up the Constitution, pining for a brief stint as a dictator, well, that settles it. When the good, patriotic, Constitution-loving, real Americans hear Trump's disrespect and disdain for our sacred constitutional principles, they will be outraged.
I'd rather have Donald Trump as a dictator for 4 years. Absolutely.
This country needs a dictator. I hate to say that, but it's the truth.
He could stand on the front steps of the White House and commit murder, and I'm with him.
If he says it, then I'll go with it. And if he wants to be a dictator, then so be it.
This is it. The Thomas Nast cartoon. Patriots festooned in American flags, co-signing dictatorship. Remember We the People? You know there's more words after that, right? Smaller font, still binding.
Yeah, and as Lee in New York points out, obligatory Star Trek reference from the original series, Omega Glory, Eid Plebnista. I was thinking the same thing, so we knocked out our obligatory Star Trek reference for the evening. Thank you, Lee. But Katie Britt, I don't think she's going to be able to run away from this one for a while. I don't know. Did somebody punk her? Or, I mean, she's even getting hammered in her own home state, which is saying something. Oh, and a little something. It's going to get a little harder for Mullah Mike Moses Johnson to speakerize in the House, because Colorado Congressman Ken Buck, full maggot, has decided that he's not even going to serve out his term. He's leaving this week. And he's done. And he's not being shy about why he's leaving. He showed up on CNN to, explain himself.
Thanks, Anderson. I'm here with Congressman Ken Buck, Republican of Colorado. You just came from the hearing. Before we get to that, you announced some big news. You're leaving Congress at the end of next week.
I am, yes. I'm resigning my seat and creating a vacancy in my district.
Why?
Well, everywhere I go in Colorado, Dan, I hear that people are not happy with Trump and they're not happy with Biden. And I think we need to change our electoral laws here.
Electrical.
And I have a passion for that. And I'm going to leave and I'm going to find the right organization to join. And I'm going to start working on that issue.
He's got a lobbying gig.
It's up and down the ballot, not just president, but Senate, House, local offices. We've got to find better ways to elect candidates and bring America.
You know, there's only one problem with that, better candidates and finding money and everything. The Republican National Committee, now that it is fully captive to the Nitwit Nero machine, they're going to spend all of their money on him, and they're not going to have any money to spend on, well, other seats. And then, on top of it all, since he's not saying pious, godly words about the Orange Genius, well, there won't be any money for any of the candidates that he decides to get behind. Oops.
America together.
You already had announced that you were going to not run for re-election. Why leave now and leave a vacancy in an already very narrow majority for your party?
Yeah, because it's important to get in the mix of this election cycle and start talking about the issues that people recognize are such a problem right now.
You know, my colleague Melanie Zanona is reporting that there is such tension among House Republicans that many of them aren't even going to a retreat that's going to happen at the end of this week. Is that tension part of why you're leaving so abruptly?
I think this place is dysfunctional. For example, I am the number third ranking member of the Judiciary Committee. I haven't even asked my questions yet. 40, 50 people have gone before me.
But that could be personal.
It could be personal, but a lot of this is personal, and that's the problem. Instead of having decorum, instead of operating in a professional manner, this place has just evolved into this bickering and nonsense and not really doing the job for the American people.
How much of the fact that you are leaving March 22nd, next Friday, how much does that have to do with the fact that Trump is the presumptive nominee and you're not exactly a fan?
Well, I don't think whether he was the nominee or not, I think our system is broken in how we choose candidates, and I want to get involved in that process.
Is it really that miserable right now to be? I mean, from the outside in, it doesn't look that fun. From the inside in, is it that bad that you're saying, I'm done?
It is the worst year of the 9 years and 3 months that I've been in Congress. And having talked to former members, it's the worst year in 40, 50 years to be in Congress. But I'm leaving because I think there's a job to do out there that I want to go do.
Anybody that you want to fill your seat?
I have not gotten involved in that, and I'm going to stay out of it.
And there's a primary in Colorado at the end of June?
June 25th is the primary election in Colorado, right?
Before I let you go and I toss back to my colleagues, you mentioned that you haven't asked questions in here, but as a former federal prosecutor yourself, listening to what Mr. Herr has said, do you feel comfortable with the fact that he decided not to press charges against the now president?
Well, I have to tell you, Dana, I think he is one of the most intelligent witnesses I've ever seen. He has immense credibility and grasp on the facts. I haven't seen the witnesses. I haven't heard the witnesses. I haven't read the underlying documents. I trust Mr. Herr to have made the right decision.
Anything else you want to add about your announcement, your big announcement?
No, just goodbye.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Jake, back to you.
So he cited the dysfunction and general nastiness of his maggot caucus because they're the ones who control when he gets to speak in a committee meeting, after all. And former member of Congress Adam Kinzinger of Illinois posted somewhat thereafter in regard to Ken Buck. And thanks, Flavio, for this. By resigning early, Ken Buck is giving an advantage to anyone but Lauren Boebert. She cannot run in the special election since she already occupies a seat, so another person will be elected to serve out the term, and it won't be Lauren. Smart. So, one nice thing about all of this is that November 2024 may see the last of... the last of Clanny Granny. We won't have her to kick around anymore. Now, I'm not talking about the special counsel. You thought that was going to end just because we weren't talking about her anymore? Who? Boebert. And here's the thing, though. After he leaves, it's going to take a while to do the special election. Hell, it may not come till November. But it'll take a little bit to appoint a successor. And as a consequence, Mulla Moses Mike Johnson's majority is one person smaller. You know, I said the other day during the State of the Union that he was the incredible shrinking speaker. He just got smaller and smaller. And
help me.
As Biden's address went on, he's going to... He's going to be driving around in a Hot Wheel car if he gets if he loses any more stature. But Buck wasn't lying about the bickering and the nonsense. Boebert once somebody explained to her what he had done to her, it got shitty and snarky. And, she'd been asked by a voter, what happened to Representative Ken Buck? And she said, he got bit by the Liz Cheney bug. No, you just got bit by the he's a lot smarter than you bug. Goodbye, Lore. Too bad you don't have your little restaurant anymore. I hope it doesn't hurt too little. Oh, and Robbie Kaplan? Counsel to E. Jean Carroll? Well, yesterday, having seen her client once again repeatedly defamed by Orange Julius Geezer, was asked about the future, and she said, as we said after the last jury verdict, we continue to monitor every statement that Donald Trump makes about our client. And so there may be yet another lawsuit. She may, you know what? Roberta Kaplan may just sue him to death. And I'm here for it, as I know you are. Hey, Ralphs, thank you for jumping in. We are now down to $990 to go to get caught up, $90 more, and we're done with last Thursday. And that's wonderful. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you so much for jumping in alongside Mark. Really appreciate it. And of course, and we don't see anything on the horizon yet suggesting that it will not go as scheduled. Hush Money Stormy Daniels trial is set to start on the 25th of this month. And Rolling Stone is reporting that there are people in his inner circle, lawyers, and it's like high gang at Rolling Stone. Remember how often we've talked about the fact that anyone who represents Nitwit Nero is in a truly grinding bind? Because as a lawyer who one presumes would like to keep their license, well, you can't put him on the stand. Because, you know, he's going to lie. And if he wants to testify, you can't keep him off the stand. And so the Rolling Stone article says that lawyers have grown anxious about various polls indicating that a criminal conviction this year would greatly harm his chances at winning back the White House. That's not just lawyers, that's MAGA advisors, too. Rolling Stone continues and says, though Team Trump views the Manhattan DA's case as easily the weakest of the four major criminal cases against him, they dread the idea of Trump creating a glut of negative publicity at a New York City trial that turns off swing voters or even helping the prosecutor's case. Rolling Stone got hold of some internal documents and reported that these people have been in touch with one another, and suggesting that they have been tag-teaming. Efforts to cautiously corral Trump into sticking to an extremely toned-down approach to this trial. One of them said it's to prevent him from talking his way into a mess. Another said they desperately want him to prove the media wrong and give the media nothing to work with by ad-libbing. Even Alan Dershowitz, for whom anyone who brings him a cold cup of coffee is an outright Nazi, Dershowitz said the Trump team ought to assume that there's going to be a criminal conviction. It's a terrible case, in my opinion, but any first-year law student could win a prosecution against Donald Trump in Manhattan, so they're going to have to assume that they're going to lose this case in front of a jury. Ouch! And we've already seen him lose three civil trials. The burden of proof is not going to save him. Y'all, he ain't gonna make it. He has to win every trial. We the people only have to win one. Jude with a note says, thank you for providing the forum to engage in humor. Therapeutic laughter releases. Great work, Robin. Oh, I don't feel so great, but I do feel it's hard not to be silly on a day like this. A little silliness is healthy. And Jude added, your reference to my being small, instantly I found myself in the memory of being with my ex-husband who stated this. If you want to get so small that I can... Here he presses two fingers together, continuing to voice, so I can squish you. How did that work out? Not as planned. Wink. I'm glad he never was successful. By the way, the New York Times just reported a couple of moments ago that with the primary results from Georgia, it's official. President Biden is officially the presumptive nominee of the Democratic Party for the presidency of the United States of America. So now maybe we can put to bed the, he's too old, because now all the maggots are running around saying, he was jacked up on Thursday. Why is he talking so fast? Good. Congratulations, Mr. President. And as Lee pointed out with a Politico article earlier, there has been a purge inside the RNC. Staff has been cut dramatically. And this is even people at the RNC who were always, always, always blood loyal to Mango Mussolini. I hope they really are hog-tying themselves and flat-footing themselves and putting both feet in buckets to, you know, climb uphill. And, yeah, Flavio mentioned this one earlier, and I had seen it as well. Rough day to be one of the Tate brothers, in particular Andrew Tate. He had been released on his own, he and his skeevy brother had been released on his own recognizance related to human trafficking charges in Romania. Well, he's not on his own recognizance anymore. Gee, I hope it doesn't hurt too little. What basically happened was that while they've been waiting trial on human trafficking, rape, and forming a criminal group to sexually exploit women charges in Romania, well, last night, Romanian police showed up and arrested them again because of charges filed in the UK. The spokescreep for the Tates said that UK charges are back to date to 2012 to 2015. And lawyers for four British women who have made those rape and accusations, well, they went to police and warned that he was planning to flee Romania. for those of you who don't recall, Andrew Tate is one of these manosphere types. Among other things, he says that women who get raped brought it on themselves. He runs a scam in which he charges, and they're mostly teenage boys, $50 for a joining fee for hands-on tutorials, dedicated millionaire mentors, a supportive community. And then, if you want to get really into it, there's Tate's War Room, where he charges some $8,000 to access and says he will free the modern man from socially induced incarceration. He got into it, a couple of years ago with Greta Thunberg, where she roasted his ass and caused the hashtag small dick energy to trend for a while. He'd been banned from Twitter, but of course, Leon Scum, who is as much of a misogynist or more than Andrew Tate is, welcomed him back to post his excrements on X with open arms. At one point in time, he said, "There's no such thing as an independent female. I'm a realist, and when you're a realist, you're a sexist." At one point, he identified as an atheist, but now he identifies as a Muslim and is running around on social media wishing people a happy Ramadan. And he's one of those great replacement racists. Europe is done. Western Europe is 0% European anywhere. White girls get raped and murdered by migrants every day, and the news won't show it. As Flavio says, the poor fellas just can't catch a break. He moved to Romania because, as he said, Romania was said to be sort of a laissez-faire sort of place for sex trafficking. Can't think of anything bad enough to happen to him, but, staying in prison for the rest of his life is a start. But then again, let's check in down in Texas with Bo Michael Dresner. He was a precinct chair for the Hays County, Texas Republican Party. And he has, he's not going to see the outside forever. 5 years ago, he was arrested on... By the way, he's not a drag queen or a trans person or any kind of LGBTQ+. He was arrested 5 years ago on over 60 claims of child pornography with the intention to promote. This is, of course, because he is a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Christian. At trial, his own daughter was going to testify against him, as was another child who lived in his home. He was arrested when he was pulled over on the way to the airport. This good Republican had a one-way ticket to Armenia because he'd done his research and found out that Armenia doesn't have an extradition treaty for people charged with crimes here in the United States. Well, then the cops got a search warrant and started going over all of his electronic gizmos. And they found hundreds of thousands of instances of child pornography. and dipshit forgot to clear his browser history. So they found where he had searched for countries that don't have extradition to the United States. Well, he'd said he was going to fight it all in court. They always do. But he's now entered a guilty plea. And by the way, in addition to the child pornography with the intention to promote, there were multiple counts of child sexual abuse. This guy, hell, and we've been wondering who Nitwit Nero was going to pick as his vice presidential nominee. This guy would have been perfect. Reporting at mysanantonian.com, that outfit said that Dresner, quote, got a stacked sentence that totaled 410 years. Dresner was given 75 years each for four counts of sexual abuse of a child, and Judge Gary Steele of the 274th District Court added sentences of 10 to 20 years for each of the 61 counts of child pornography with intent to promote. I wonder how the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals will look at this one. I wonder if that gang of Republicans will give him some sort of a pass. Or say that he's overcharged. Problem is, he entered a voluntary, uncoerced guilty plea. I don't care what happens to him. I guess it's bad karma for me to say, I hope terrible things happen to him in the joint. But my only hope, my real only hope, is that his victims, having gotten some measure of justice, can finally begin to heal. Armenia. Well, no Armenian, no Armenian vacation for you, you good God-fearing Republican, Beau Michael Dresner. Goodbye. And then this, as we wrap up the program. Since Beau Michael Dresner did that evil. Well, and I noted, of course, that he is not a drag queen, not a trans person, and not any kind of LGBTQ. And we know that his party has been engaged in a jihad against particularly trans people. Well, let's check in down in Talabama. You want to talk about something that was cooked up? Alabama politicians are having an absolute conniption, led, of course, by Tommy the Tuber and Representatives Dale Strong and Robert Adderholt. Because a parent went onto Facebook and said that an employee of the United States Space and Rocket Center, commonly known as the Space Center, where they run a, it's quite unique and it's wonderful. It's Space Camp. The guy who dropped the dime is someone by the name of Clay Yarbrough of Owens Crossroads, Alabama. And he got all in a dither when he found out that a space camp crew member, a counselor, is trans. He has a child, 11 years old, a daughter, and she was going to go to space camp as part of a school event. And Yarbrough said, I heard that one little girl had called her parents and said, this guy's in the dorm room and I don't feel comfortable. She's a trans girl. The AL.com article does not name the employee, mercifully. The Space and Rocket Center issued a statement saying, we would like to assure parents, teachers, and the public that the safety and security of space camp students is our number one priority. Any allegations of misconduct are taken very seriously. We are working to determine the facts in this case, after which we will take appropriate action. Additionally, because, you see, the transphobes and the bigots and the maggots, that I repeat myself, are very dainty and delicate. So they have to be reassured. So the statement from Space Camp said, additionally, staff sleep in separate rooms from students and use separate bathroom facilities. We also provide 24-hour on-site security, including round-the-clock video surveillance, regular foot and vehicle patrols, and controlled campus and building access. Anyone who works at Space Camp has to undergo a nationwide criminal background check that includes court records, Department of Corrections data, state sex offender registries from across the country, and multi-panel drug tests. In other words, this trans girl is squeaky clean. We are an apolitical organization, Space Camp said, with no social agenda. Our singular mission is to inspire and to educate. Meanwhile, Representative Dale Strong said, I call on the center to immediately remove this individual and open a safety review to consider the potential harm and damages they've inadvertently caused children. We got to put the safety and well-being of children first. Of course, if you say anything about guns that actually end the lives of God alone knows how many children in any given year, here in the greatest country in the history of the world, on earth, now, today, forever, in the universe under God. Well, we can't have that. That kind of keeping children safe. Well, their safety and their ability, the ability of an 11-year-old to become and live to become a 12-year-old, that's not so important. But even being in the proximity of a trans person, well, the flag is falling. Representative Gary Palmer said, the situation is unacceptable. When parents send their kids to space camp in Alabama, they should be confident that they are going to a safe educational environment. Yeah. 26,000 kids a year go to space camp. The thing is, though, it's part of the U.S. Space and Rocket Center, which in turn is part of the Marshall Space Flight Center, which itself is a federal installation. Thursday night, President Biden said, and it touched me, it genuinely did, and to the trans people watching tonight, I've got your back. Well, now we'll find out. It's not the Alabama Space and Rocket Center. It is the United States Space and Rocket Center. There is a reason that the headquarters, the command center of Space Force, is still in Colorado and not ever coming to Alabama because that place is a toxic, transphobic shithole. For anyone who isn't cis, white, Christian, straight, and preferably male. I'm surprised that that guy in that Yarbrough dude would even let his little girl go to space camp. She ain't got no business going there. She's a girl. There is no physical contact between staff and the kids. Nothing more than a face bump or a fist bump. Face bump? Really, Roxanne? Fist bump or a high five. No space camp employee can be alone with a child behind a closed door. In other words, they're doing everything right. Like I said, the girl is squeaky clean and poses no threat and no harm. And so this Yarbrough creep actually called the vice president of space camp, Robin Soprano, and he's quoted as saying, she said, I can assure you your kid's safety is my number one priority. No males are allowed in female dorms and no females are allowed in male dorms. So I asked, do you allow transgenders in? And claim that there is garbage on the trans girl's Facebook account. So he's going to withdraw his daughter from space camp because there's a trans. Yarbrough said, I don't hate these people, man. Goes against everything I'm for. I just don't think this is any place for it. I just think it's totally out of line. Bullshit. He started this firestorm intentionally, deliberately, and it was probably cooked up by some shitbird transphobe. And, oh, by the way, expect the news reports in the next couple of days of bomb threats going into the Space Center. Because Chaya Ratchik has now posted it to her vast horde of barbarian minions. Yeah, the only difference is this is a federal facility. And if, in fact, President Biden has our back, then the minute the bomb threats start coming in, once and for all, we need to get the FBI involved, signals intelligence, anti-terrorism, homeland security, and trace, because the federal government has this kind of power, trace the source of the bomb threat and then connect the dots all the way back to Chaya Ratchik and stick her in fucking prison for as long as Bo Michael Dresner. It's disgusting. It is absolutely and utterly disgusting. Flavio sent this along. Aaron Reed, who is the best journalist in the country on LGBTQ issues, particularly trans issues. West Virginia saw a flurry of anti-trans bills in 2024. Now most of those bills are dead. Is this a genuine shift away from targeting LGBTQ people, or are lawmakers pausing their attacks ahead of the elections? God, it would be great if it was a matter of the former. I meant to mention that actually yesterday. I've got a reprieve for another year. Not exactly safe, but I have a reprieve. The half mile radius ban on the existence of trans people near a school is dead. Almost all of them are dead. Even in this maggot supermajority state. They may actually find out in November, I mean, not necessarily here, but on the national stage, barking and grunting about trans people. Well, they found it out in 2022 as well. The issues of smearing trans people was important to less than 5% of the people who voted. They didn't learn. I guess because people are still giving money to these tax-exempt 501c3 Christian grifts. But when they do start losing more and more and more, well, they may, you know, they may hear through their buttocks. But since I mentioned that I do have another year's reprieve, I want to thank you all. I want to thank you all for putting up with me and my fears through the last 6 weeks of this legislative session, because it was truly terrifying each and every day to see these constant assaults, these constant attacks on my right just to exist. And I know people who have lived authentically in their own way for a lot longer than I have know this much more fundamentally. But I have appreciated the kindness and compassion you have shared with me. And it means so, so much. So thank you. And thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors, our challenge makers. Thank you to Mark and Ralphs for keeping this from being a goose egg this evening. It's time to, you know, now we'll go to work on a couple of more bills. Seems like that's all I ever do. Thanks to the folks who help out via the United States Postal Service. Thank you so much. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks, Roger, in Oregon, in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, if you listen to the podcast, liking and subscribing is a great way to help grow the community and give more people access to the program. They don't have to pay for it. They just have to know it exists, and we don't have a PR department. Y'all are the PR department. So like, subscribe, leave a comment. And with that last, you will thrill Brother Deacon Ace's heart. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 25 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Stay safe, everybody. Let's all get our boosters if we haven't already, and watch for the next one to come out, and by God, get that one too. If you're around the maggots, you know, wear your mask. They're still not safe. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Carry it with you, pocket or purse. Maintain your social distance. And if her comes toward you saying, "How did you get here? You just appeared." I'll avoid him like the plague, because he is. Oh, by the way, as to Andrew Taint moving to Romania, Robin, says Brother Deacon Asa. He moved to Romania because he knew that despite all his manliness, he'd become somebody's bride in a Texas prison. Oh, no, that's Armenia. He'd become somebody's bride in a Texas prison if he got popped for child trafficking. Say what you will about his hard exterior. He's a Pop-Tart on the inside, a sweetheart. He's soft in the middle. And riddle me this, Batwoman. How does one hate the Muslim immigrants and become a Muslim in the meantime? You think little Pop-Tart Andrew is suffering from some inner dysphoria? Oh, that, well, that could be Dresner or, yes, okay. He wasn't talking about Dresner. He was talking about Andrew Tate. Yeah. Well, but see, he became a Muslim because he knows that's the single most misogynistic religion on earth. And that there are some mullahs out there who will say, amen, brother, to every bit of hatred that he delivers toward women. Yeah. Oh, and Wayne and Gina, it's all for you. Later.